Well, hello everybody. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are back here together for another conversation, another week with one another and with all of you. So welcome to all of you. I hadn't realised I was going to say this way, Lizzie, until I've said it, that this sense that we are really, although it looks like you and I are in conversation, it's actually a worldwide conversation, and I can always feel the sense of everyone being in it with us, and there are many, many of you. So thank you for joining us. Some of you who have been with us the full 7 and a bit years have been writing to us this week, and some of you who have joined much more recently have been writing to us this week. And you're all so equally welcome, whether you've been long-time walkers of this path together or have just found or been recommended or stumbled your way here. And very shortly, we're going to begin, as we always do. We have a wonderful source brought to us by Lizzie, and we'll read the source a couple of times, and then it will be exactly that, a source, a doorway, a spring from which a conversation always, Lizzie, unfailingly unfolds, which is one of the miracles of doing this together, 300 and nearly 80 conversations in. Turning Towards Life comes from Third Space, and if you're interested in Third Space and what we're up to in the world of learning and deepening and adult development and coaching, you can head over to wearethirdspace.org. And I'm mentioning that particularly now at the start of January 2025, and Happy New Year, everybody, because in February 2025, if you're listening to this at around the right time, there's an opportunity to come and learn with us for a couple of days online in our Foundations of Coaching program, which is in early February. So you can go to wearethirdspace.org and have a look there. We'd love to meet you. And Lizzie, I'm going to stop saying things now, and I'm going to hand over to you.
Thanks, Justin. I just want to add my thanks and joyful appreciation of everybody who writes to us, Justin, and says what it's like for them. So I want to say, if you are on the verge, or you think, oh, I must write, I keep forgetting or something, please do it. Because the joy this week of receiving the emails from Gavin and Dawn, Justin, particularly, is so wonderful. And I would love to hear more from everyone about what it's like, so that we can feel more into the world. Like you're talking about, this is a huge, there's people everywhere listening, and oh my gosh, it's such a joy to feel and receive the words of what it's like for everyone. So please, if you're on the verge of emailing, or you think, oh, I must do a review, or whatever you know, your thoughts are each time you listen, please do it. It's such a joy. It really is. Thank you.
Will you say how to do that, Lizzie, before we move on?
Yeah, so emailing us, it's hello@turningtowards.life. And you can go to any of the podcast platforms and leave a review for us if you wanted as well. And we love to hear from you. So this source today is called Once Loved by the wonderful Stefan Atkinson. So Stefan Atkinson is a wonderful person that Justin and I know. And Stefan wrote this poem for his wife, Nina, who's also a friend of Justin and I, and also part of Third Space. And I read this a couple of years ago in a birthday card, and from Stefan to Nina, and it has stuck with me ever since. And this week it popped into my mind, and I thought, well, I'm just going to ask, see if I can remember one line, and see if anybody remembers one line and they can remember which poem it was. And Nina remembered it. Stefan didn't remember it, couldn't remember that he'd written it. And then we've brought it back into the world once more and titled it, and have Stefan's very kind permission for us to have this here. So it's called Once Loved by Stefan Atkinson. Here we go. Once loved. World once loved will always yield its rewards to the giver. World once loved will always yield its rewards to the giver. Meadow once grazed will never mind seeding grass to the grazer. Man, once loved, will never lose hope while holding the lover. Tree, once hugged, will never live life without loving the hugger.
Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, Stefan, for these words as well. So we will post these, as we always do, on the turningtowards.life website and in the show notes for the podcast. And it's already in our Facebook group, which you're all very welcome to join. Another way to talk to us. Once Loved, this is by Stefan Atkinson. World, once loved, will always yield its rewards to the giver. Meadow, once grazed, will never mind seeding grass to the grazer. Man, once loved, will never lose hope while holding the lover. Tree, once hugged, will never live life without loving the hugger.
Thanks, Justin. So, as always, Justin, the sources that I tend to want to bring here are the ones that are discombobulating, that are confusing. And what does that even mean? It's like my feeling self has a bigger relationship to my kind of brainy self. So I can feel this poem and I can find some threads of beginning in it, but it's always so with our sources, and it is with this one, that I also feel thrown into unknowing, like thrown into territory that feels like it wants to be explored, but I don't quite know what it is. So I really want to appreciate Stefan's writing this for that quality, because when I'm in that territory, I know something new gets born. And when there's learning, when there's something new getting born, that feels to me like an excellent piece of life that we're entering into. So I say all of what I'm going to say with that sense of, I don't know. But I feel, and I'm curious, and I'm wondering, in this wonderful source, this wonderful poem, is a deep wondering about reciprocity and what it means to be the meadow and what it means to be the grazer, what it means to be the world and what it means to be the lover, and what even is the relationship between those two things. Like it throws me into a wondering where there's a big part of me that goes, well, I'm giving you this and you're receiving it. And once I've given it to you, it's yours. Like a really simple relationship to giving and receiving that's kind of practical and physical. But then it's like there's a reflection that happens of, oh, well, but what was my experience of being the giver? And what was your experience of being the receiver, which is different to the item that's being given, received. It's like the experience of the person in the shoes of the giver and the shoes of the receiver. And Stefan's invitation to me is to wonder what it means. It's so edgy. I mean, it's hard for me to find all the words, but what it means to the receiver to have been given to, but also what it means to the giver to have been received. And what a gift that is to have been received. And once my gift has been received, the receiving is really all mine, not in the place of the person who's been given to, or the something that's been given to. So then everything gets called into question of, well, am I giving or am I receiving when I'm giving? Or am I both and are you both? Are you giving me the opportunity as the receiver to receive myself because I'm the giver? And then everything becomes like the same thing. And underpinning all of that is a sense of abundance, of the fullness of life, that in the notion of when I give something, I lose something, that becomes completely irrelevant. So as I give to you, there could be a part of me that thinks I'm losing something because I've given something away. But as I tune into my experience of giving to you, I'm given to by my giving to you. So it feels like it turns everything on its head and gives me a very deep invitation to looking at what it means to be generous in the world, and how the generosity from me to you is a generosity to me. It's not me losing something. So I'm just going to stop there and in my kind of collection of words, feel what you're sensing, Justin.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're coming at it this way. One of the things that happened for me in reading Stefan's words was appreciating the many different ways in which us humans express ourselves, and feeling how particular these words were. I've never seen anyone write in exactly this way, and I don't think I could write in exactly this way. This wouldn't be mine. And Stefan, as a human, is pouring something out here, and it has a particular flavor, like almost like a taste to it. And I've been trying to sort of taste my way into it, like an unfamiliar dish that's both familiar and unfamiliar. And really, I really appreciate. I think I'm making a sort of starting in a slightly different place, but I'm going to come back in sort of towards you in a second, Lizzie, and what you said about the benefits of reading one another and of being taken by the hand into different ways of experiencing and different ways of expressing and different ways of making sense mm-hmm. of this very mysterious world, and how much we need that. So even if I had nothing to say about what Stefan is writing about, I think I'd want to say something as I am about what it's like to have the chance to sort of get a bit of a feeling sense of the world as if from another.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a reminder to me of why reading for ourselves and reading to one another and reading widely and exposing ourselves to the world, words and thoughts of feelings of many, and talking to many different kinds of people, why it's so important. Maybe it's particularly important now when the world seems to be getting sort of more definite, more resolute and angry sometimes mm-hmm. and oftentimes. So now everything you said, I was thinking about how easy it is with our giving and receiving, just as you were talking, to fall into one end of a kind of polarity, and the ends aren't great places to live for very long. So one end is, I'm going to withhold my giving, because if I give too fully, too openly, too vulnerably, too generously, too in too real a way, I'll lose myself, or I'll get humiliated or shamed or outcast or any of those things that we're frightened of. And I'm saying that one because I'm really familiar with that pole in some ways. I can feel ways in which I hold, there's so much of myself that I feel like I haven't found a way to give into the world yet. And I'm really in a very sincere inquiry about that right now. And that pole, what it does is it robs us of the very thing that you've been talking about, which is the giving and receiving being one. That as we give generously what we can to the world, and it might be in, because we're talking about it, it might be in word or in song or in feeling or in creativity or in thought or in wisdom or in question or in feeling, or as we give well, then very, very often the world, and I think this is the verse that has most got me here, we find that the world responds in one way or another. And if we can feel that the receiving of the world and our giving are the same thing, and if we can receive the receiving so that it nourishes us too, there's very much to be said for the reciprocity in that, the very necessary reciprocity. So that's one pole. The other pole is we give, but we give in a sacrificial way. And we give in a way that sort of gives ourselves up and gives ourselves away, and there's nothing left. But maybe when we're giving sacrificially, we're also giving because we're trying to get the world to receive us in a very, very particular way. Like I want you, I mean, the both ends of the polarity are trying to receive in a particular way. One is like, don't shame me, don't humiliate me, don't call me out, mm-hmm. don't whatever. And the other end is love me, love me, love me, love me, appreciate me, I'll give. And if I give enough, and I give. And in that one, we wring ourselves dry, and we never get to feel, because we're always being hyper-vigilant about the kind of receiving that we're getting at the other end. Like, do you love me? Did you get it? Was it valuable? We never get to feel the receiving either, because we're not open to receiving what we're giving landing in exactly the way that it lands in the world, which is really not up to us. And that's what I got thinking about when you were talking, was about you're pointing to a kind of reciprocity of giving and trusting somehow, and noticing the way in which what we give gets received, and then having the receiving be the gift to us in what, and I think this is the thing, I don't know if you said it this way, but I'm sort of edging up to it now. There's something like the gift of giving, when we give of ourselves with sincerity and care and creativity and love and maybe joy, and we don't hold on to the way in which it's received, but we do pay attention to how it's received and receive that back. There's a sort of letting go that's called for. And the last part of my thought, which I think I'm also edging towards, and I might, when we come back round again, maybe there'll be something else to say about it, or maybe something else will happen, that this first five lines, that the world once loved will always yield its rewards to the giver. I actually think that's something to do with us and not to do with the world. The world's going to do what the world's going to do. Like, we might bring this conversation as we do, and 1,000 people might listen to it, or 8 billion people might listen to it. And it's really not up to us at all how it gets received. Okay, I need to stop. There's much more to say. But I think I'll tangle myself here, so I'm going to pause, and it'd be so good to hear you.
So what arises for me, I loved your description of the kind of what it means to dangle off either end of the pole, whether we're in sacrifice or we're kind of hiding, I guess, wanting. And what I was thinking about was the underlying implicit message of Stefan's poem, which seems to me to be one of, if we participate, we will find that the world is benevolent. That each of the world, the meadow, the man and the tree, once we have participated towards them, what comes back is evidence of benevolence and the loving, the grazing, the loving and the hugging are movements towards, like, it I think it's a poem about faith in abundance, faith in life filledness being the nature of life. That there's an aliveness that is to be depended on as we venture out, that we can take a step in loving or grazing or hugging, turning towards life. So as we turn towards life, what happens is life turns towards us. That feels to me like the deep inquiry in all of this. And so as I'm dangling off each one of those poles, and I think sacrifice is probably my dangle pole, you know, that's the place where I hang around in, which is, oh my gosh, I've given it all and I'm exhausted and I need to go to bed now. And how come no one else did as much as I did, or something like of that realm? When I bring this inquiry into that dangly pole of mine, it not only changes the way I reflect on what's happened, of how much I gave, and, you know, my narrative, my story about what happened shifts. You know, if I bring this poem into my dangling pole of sacrifice, and it's really meaningful to me, this, because I think this is part of my, I don't know whether it's being a woman in the world mixed with my ancestry and the way that sacrifice has kind of been held and done a lot. It's a big story that I can feel is truthful, you know, and there's truth to my experience, of course, but when I'm thinking about my inner work and my taking hold of my own experience and my own life and shaping it consciously into one of enjoyment and receiving and abundance and fulfillment, I know I can take responsibility for dangling on that end of the pole. And this poem helped me to take responsibility for myself and my experience of the world. So that when I am in that kind of sacrificial story of feeling like the galley maid in a ship kind of thing, in a very small space with not much resource and no one's in there with me and it's dark and they're all having a nice time on deck, you know, it's like when I even say that, it's a very real feeling for me. So I know there's lots of, like, maybe a lifetime's work in it. But as I read this poem, that the story that I'm telling gets to live a different life. It gets to be acknowledged and seen, and to know that there's a very different something available that I could cultivate, that I could practice, that I could wander into and hold, and also use to reflect as well. Because of course, when I'm in that experience, I'm telling the story that's having my experience be that way. And I can retell the story in reflection if I missed the opportunity to feel abundant in the midst of something. I can look back and retell myself the story in a way that is life-giving to me. And that feels miraculous, really. That if the nature of life is this, if I just take it to be that, what kind of aliveness does that bring to me? How does it make me tell the story differently? And then how does that change my experience of what has happened and what can happen? And then I can begin going, well, what if I take this poem into the day? Like today, for example, I've got to do a load of clearing up. I've got to take Christmas tree lights down. I've got to put a Christmas tree outside. And of course, I'll have help, you know, but there's two young children running around and all kinds of mayhem going on at the same time. So I'm one who's just about to start walking and likes to smash Christmas baubles on the floor and do all other manner of climbing up on things. And, you know, so there's a lot of my attention is kind of scattered and trying to kind of hold a lot. And so today I literally have a choice to bring this poem into my life and feel what it feels to write the story of a generous day. And I might fail, probably will 100 times, but this will be with me as a kind of a guide to my possibility that in any moment I could live this tree hugging, grazing, loving, hopeful life in the midst of whatever pole I find myself dangling off.
It's the way that you're speaking is very strongly suggesting to me something that we know as Lizzie is in the heart of so much of the work that we do, which is with people, which is to look together at the story we tell about what something is. So what is giving and what is receiving, and also the way in which we pay attention to it. Because where and how we place our attention shapes how the world shows up. And I think that's exactly, the world once loved will always yield its rewards to the giver. It's so implied in here, which is, I think, look, I want to get out of the way just briefly that for many people and at many times because of social conditions and power structures and historic injustices and all kinds of things, the world asks more of some people than it should and gives less than it should. And there are other people who are asked less of than they should be and get given more than they should be. And I want to name it and just sort of, for the moment, just set it to one side, because without naming it, I can't then think, say what I want to say, which is to, with that aside for a moment, is to go that very, very often the stories we have about giving and receiving really do throw us to one end of that pole. So I've been thinking about, you know, if I want to write something and put it out in the world, I might have the story that I'm losing a part of me, or I'm making myself open to ridicule, or nobody will want to read it. But I could have a completely different story, which to say it's sort of like breathing. I'm going to breathe out into the world, and what I breathe out will become part of the atmosphere, and other people will breathe it in, and who knows? And then I could watch patiently and see what happens from it. Or when I'm, we talk a lot about domestic chores, you and I, Lizzie. You know, if I'm clearing up in the kitchen after we've had a meal and there's mess everywhere, and frankly, you know, everyone's brought their plates and plonked them on the sides and nobody's done the things that they need to do. Of course, there's the part of me that can goes, I wish other people would do more here. And that's entirely reasonable. But also just for me, so I don't want to speak for anyone else here, just to me, I could go here. My giving is taking on this task that's right here that someone needs to do, and I'm going to do it. And I could watch how the household receives that the plates went away and the bowls got washed and the spoons ended up in the dishwasher and everything. And in finding there are better and worse stories for that moment and better and worse ways to pay attention. So if I only pay attention to my resentment or my fear or my whatever, if I'm only paying attention there, I'm going to be pulled out of this reciprocity of giving and receiving. But there are other places, if I watch what it's like to feel my own generosity arise and go, okay, so nobody else is going to do it tonight, but I will. And I feel the act of washing the dishes and putting them away. And then I receive the finished state of it. And then I go and I find the other people in my house and I receive what they've been up to when they weren't doing that. In that moment, I really do have a choice to enter into this world of loving the world as it is and knowing that it will always yield in the way that Stefan points to in that way, that there really is a choice around that. And again, I want to come pull back what I set aside and say that's not an argument for putting up with historic injustices and power imbalances and all of those kind of things in some kind of naive way. But I think in a way it's always available to us right in the moment. There's a moment by moment positioning of ourselves relative to various stories and narratives and understandings and ways of paying attention that actually even in very difficult circumstances, we still have a wide degree of flexibility about how we hold ourselves in it and how we relate to the others around us, in which there might be much more reciprocity of giving and receiving possible just because we did that.
Yeah, it's such an important, and I think that's why I was saying, Justin, maybe it's also part of being a woman in the world, because I know that there are profound narratives for what that means. And in my particular family system in the moment, there are people who are very, women who are very tied to the patriarchy. And so who I'm being, which is someone who speaks their mind, who believes in equity, who is very straightforward when things don't feel that the power balance is appropriate and will say it. You know, that's a big problem for many women inside the paradigm of the patriarchy. Anyway, that's a big conversation. But as you say, like, if I can put that to the side and take responsibility for my experience, whilst also knowing that that has a big influence, there's empowerment in it. Because what it means is that I don't have to, as you say, this is such a beautiful invitation, I don't have to pay attention to my resentment the whole time. There are plenty of other things in the moment that I can pay attention to. And what if there's a way that we are being generous towards each of those dishes that are calling to us? We're being generous to the space. The space is loving us. You know, I remember being really moved once by someone saying to me that you're not going to the beach to consume the beach. The beach is really happy to see you. It's not a one-way street. When you visit a tree and you appreciate it, that tree is appreciative of your presence too. It's not like just because it's not human, it doesn't experience your generosity and appreciate you being there. And that just changed everything. I was like, oh, hold on a second. I've kind of made a story up that because I'm a human, I'm the one like on the take or something. And actually, maybe we're all beings receiving one another in ways that maybe I can't see and have evidence for. But it really made sense to me that the beach's generosity is not one way. It's also in receipt of our participation in what it's offering to us. And that, as you say, we can adjust our stories so they're life-giving. We we have the opportunity to do that. So this tree once hugged never lives life without loving the hugger. It's that the tree is living in receipt of us having loved the tree, as we are in receipt of having hugged the tree. And that is the nature of things. Letting that be an invitation to shifting my story wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, so that I'm not in some transactional relationship with life, but that I'm fully participant, as is everything and everyone else participant. And I can make everything into what I want to make it into, that feels life-giving and real and has integrity and brings me to life.
Last thing for me to say is what you've just articulated, Lizzie, is I might say it's something like the difference between, I've used this word reciprocity, so I'm going to bring it in, care, the reciprocity of care and using things. So when I'm, these two poles I was talking about earlier, our giving becomes using in some way, which is, I'll give to get loved, or I'll give to stay safe, or I'll not give to stay safe, or something, you know, and that's not an unreasonable place to start. But when we recognize that we humans can be in a relationship of using, your, what you say about the beach and the tree really comes starkly into focus, which is, it's really possible for us to be in a relationship of care, which is reciprocal, which is, I mean, it's quite possible to go to the beach and use it. And that sort of requires us to separate ourselves from it in some way. And in a way, maybe that's a lot of the trouble that we get into in the world, is when we're in a relationship of use, when it's not appropriate, we use rather than care. And Stefan's words invite us into a relationship of care, where we give and receive. And as you said right at the start, giver and receiver, it's not so clear what's giving and what's receiving, and who's giving, who's the giver and who's the receiver in it. That's a relationship of care rather than use, and it's available to us. It's such a good reminder that we could come towards our loved ones, our colleagues, our friends, the people we meet in the street, the tree in the park, the beach, the dishes, that we could come, we could practice coming with the narrative of care and reciprocity to all of them and see what happens from it, because it would be different from either using it to extract some value or using it or other people to shore up my sense of myself in the world.
Yeah. Thank you, Justin, for this wandering into somewhere through a doorway together. And thank you, Stefan, for writing this poem. Thank you also to Nina for being the muse for this poem. This was in a card to her. And is about her, really, the kind of generosity that she is in the world. So I'm really grateful for that, grateful for this space and for everyone joining in with the conversation. So beautiful. As I said before, we would so love to hear from anyone who wants to tell us about what it's like to be with us. You could share your reflections of a conversation. You could just tell us how you listen to us. You could just tell us a bit about who you are and where you are in the world. Anything, a funny story. Anything, we're really happy to hear from you. And Justin, thank you as always for walking around in the wandering here together with all of us. And we will be back next week in the second episode of 2025, Turning Towards Life. And we will see you then.